Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again that we can sit before you, before your word. And Father, we want to be faithful before you, that we can drink the abundance of your cup no matter what is going on topsy-turvy in our lives, Lord, that there you are, our rock, our foundation, our high tower, our shelter in the time of storm. Father, help us to live and breathe these truths, so much so, Lord, that the people around us, they wonder what's going on, and they ask us what is the reason for that hope that is within us, and we can share with them the glorious gospel of Christ. Father, we pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight, that your Holy Spirit would move in our hearts, our minds, our will, and as we look at these words of Scripture plainly written on the page before us, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. How do we live passionately in the righteousness of God without being consumed in smoldering anger against the wicked? We do not live, first of all, within a framework of the world's perception of life and death. We don't live in the world's framework of perception of life and death, victory and defeat. But we do live within the truth of our story as God tells it in his holy book, the Bible. If you would turn with me to Psalm 37, verse 1. Psalm 37, verse 1. This the heading tells us that this was written by David. Psalm 37, verse 1 says, "Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass. They will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb." Dr. Stevenson at Moody, he was a Hebrew scholar. I took one of these classes that I had, just how it is when you're in college, that you hear certain things and you try to get a feel for, well, this professor teaches this and this one teaches this way, and I like the method that this person has, and all these things. Well, I'd heard these things, they were somewhat negative about Dr. Stevenson. I don't really remember what they were, but it was enough that I thought, well, I don't know if I would take a class of his or not. Well, what happened was, though, because for the last 5 years we were in the Chicago area, I worked full-time and went to school full-time, so I also went to summer school. And I needed 2 summer school classes so I could lighten my load to like 12 hours during the school year semester. And, well, it just, how it works out, that it just is like I needed to take this Psalms class with Dr. Stevenson. And it was just great. I don't know, you know, just what I had heard or who said it or whatever, but because this man had such a love for the book of Psalms, such a love for God's wisdom literature. But I remember Dr. Stevenson telling us this word here, fret not. Now we think fretting, we think like chewing our fingernails and worrying and anxiety and things like that. But what he said was that in the Hebrew, what this really means is don't smolder in anger. And boy, the light bulb went on, because it's like, ooh, yeah. Boy, does that ever hit me right where I am at times when we see what's going on in the world, and when we see the wrong that's being done, and we see the wickedness and all, and we smolder in anger, and we're just ready to erupt, just the right spark that we would erupt. But it tells us here, fret not, don't smolder in anger because of evildoers, be not envious of evildoers, they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Do not focus on the lifestyle and success, quote unquote success, of evildoers, but on their end. Now we're going to say a little bit more about the success, about, because see what the questions that come here are, what is making me angry about the evildoers? And what would I have to be, why would I be envious of the evildoers? So do not focus on the lifestyle and quote unquote success of evildoers, but on their end. Verses 1 and 2. Verses 3 to 7, instead turn our attention to our relationship with the Lord. beginning in verse 3. Trust in the Lord. Well, just to go down through here, we're going to look at, just it's going to be trust, delight, commit, be still, and wait. Trust, delight, commit, be still, and wait. Turn our attention away from the activity of the wicked and turn our attention to our relationship with the Lord. Now, that's very important, and it is so relevant. And boy, how many, you know, you hear someone say, well, you know, well, we got to figure out a way to make the Bible relevant. No, you don't. You don't have to figure out a way to make the Bible relevant. You study, you listen to God, you meditate before His Word, you just put your time in, you listen, and these truths are eternal truths. They're not locked into 1000 BC or 900 BC or AD 60. They're not locked into this. It's relevant. It's God's Word. And so we have this instruction that's given. So when we're thinking, when we're seeing these news headlines, or when this is happening in our community, or that, or it's like, how did that, you know, our dear cousin, you know, and this, and her husband bailed on her, and all these things. What do we do? How do we keep from smoldering in anger, or how do we keep from being envious? Because it's like, man, they're just, well, let's just use the term that we're going to come across here in a little bit. Just everything they desire, the desires of their heart, they get. They get the right career. They get the right person. They get wealth. They get physical health and well-being. They are just seemingly successful in every way. Just all the desires of their hearts. How do we combat that? Well, we trust. We delight. We commit. We be still, and we wait patiently. Reading in verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Now, some of your Bibles have it spoken differently, and I'm not saying one's necessarily better than the other, but I really like what the English Standard Version has here. Befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Trust in the Lord. Here is our action plan. You've heard people talk about being proactive. Well, here's where we're proactive. We're going to turn away from our anger. We're going to focus our attention away from the wicked and their seeming success. And we're going to put our attention before God. And what we're going to see is God is going to give us His perspective of life on this planet. And when that happens, it's just, whoosh, here is His abundance in peace. We're going to see that a little bit later in our text. But first, trust in the Lord. Okay, our action plan, we're going to trust God and do good. This person over here may be doing this. This person over here may be doing that. This country may be uprising in this way. But what we are going to do, though, we're going to trust God and do good. We're the people that are around us, the people in our sphere of influence. We're going to speak to them the right way, aren't we? We're going to trust in the Lord, and we're going to honor the people around us. We're going to care for the people around us as much as we can. You know, we have here the negative, be do-gooders, but there's, the Bible really tells us to be do-gooders, but not in the sense that we look at it when we look at it negatively. We're not doing good to show people how good we are we? We're doing good because we're being a channel of God's goodness. And you keep doing good. That's why the person who's biblically being a do-gooder is, we do good, and even when someone throws it back in our face or doesn't appreciate it or whatever, we continue to do good because we're doing it before the Lord. We're trusting in Him. He says to do this. This is what we do. We trust Him for the results. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. One of the most strengthening things that you can do And you folks here do it, and I'm not saying, okay, we're more spiritual than the people that only show up on Sunday morning, because we have a lot of very faithful people on Sunday morning. But one of the things that is in strengthening to fellow believers, is encouraging to fellow believers, is faithfulness to the task. Not faithfulness out of rote, not faithfulness because we're being legalistic and we're trying to keep ourselves in God's graciousness, but just faithfulness because God calls us to be faithful. You didn't come here tonight because we got some big program planned, did you? You didn't come here because, boy, I mean, it's going to be happening, because we're going to have a couple hundred people or a couple thousand, and man, we're going to have multimedia, and we're going to have all these cool things going on, and you can stop it. Now, I'm not saying those things are wrong, you know, but we don't have a latte cafe out here in the where you can come in and have a latte before you come in for the message or what. That's not why you're here, is it? Now, if those things draw people in, I won't get myself sidetracked. All I'm saying is I'm not judging that. I'm saying that's not why we're here. There's something about being right before God, being faithful to Him for the right reason, that just really feels good, doesn't it? That we're just going to take that next step. Little old church in little old Tennessee, Illinois, out in the boondocks. You know, and that's okay. If where are you from, old Tennessee, Illinois? You know, that's all right. God knows where we are, doesn't He? But there's something encouraging about just people faithful, God's saint. Because why is that? Because, well, we're living with this bigger picture in view. Jesus is coming again. And we just, and folks, I don't think I can overstate it, just the blessing it's going to be. God's not keeping a tally like, well, I'm going to really love you for eternity because you were in church all these times or you did that. That's not it at all. I don't think I have to explain that to any of you. But it's going to be a blessing when He's just going to kind of roll back the tape, roll back the video, and to see the faithfulness. And this is a joy that's just going to spring from our hearts. There we are at last before our Savior. And it's like, wow, for all the boneheaded things I did, for all the dark ways that I slipped at times, look at all these things that I was faithful in. We were faithful in. You know that song, Lord, find us faithful. So befriend faithfulness. Faithfulness, though, first and foremost to our God. So trust in the Lord. Second, delight yourself in the Lord. And now here's the perplexing part of the verse. And He will give you the desires of your heart. So let's talk about that a little bit. Let's open that up to discussion. What does it mean, the desires of our heart? How have some people interpreted that? Let's get the ball rolling there. Remember me and the Cadillac? If I do things just right, if I just delight myself in the Lord, and boy, Lord, I just praise You, and I got that Cadillac in mind, or what we might have, that some people have a healing in mind, or is that what it's talking about? And then we take another approach to that, and we say, well, if we delight ourselves in the Lord, then God will shape our desires to fit His desires, and so then He will give us the desires of our heart, because now He's got them shaped to the right place. But I don't think that's it either. Now just think about it for a minute, and I'm really mean, if you've got a thought or a comment, I'm kind of throwing this open because I want you to think through this with me. Just think what that might be. What are the true desires of our hearts? Now let me ask you this, as you're thinking about that, as you're getting ready to bestow this wisdom on the rest of the group. We talked about, remember I said when we started out in talking about the quote-unquote success of the evildoers, don't focus on that, don't smolder in anger. Because why would we be envious? Because it seems like they get the desires of their heart, doesn't it? And yet, they can have anything the things that we typically think of the desires of their heart, how many of them have it all? And then they put a bullet through their brain. And then they take a bottle of pills. And then they inject a lethal dose of heroin. Or they swerve their car in front of the oncoming semi. Are they really getting the desires of their heart? And when we look at that, are we misunderstanding? Are we off track when we're understanding what are the desires of our heart? Because if they were getting the desires of their hearts, they wouldn't take their lives. Or you see this, I hope we're not those that just enjoy the social pummeling of famous people. Well, they're famous and they're acting like an idiot, so it's okay to join in and punch them verbally and say mean things about them and you know what I'm talking about, all the gossip, and we just, and this, because you have this young lady or this young guy, and how many examples do we have? And they started out, and then boy, 5 years later, 6 years later, 10 years later, they are just a total wreck. But they had it all. But they didn't have the desires of their heart, folks. See, that's one of the reasons why God's saying, don't be envious of them. Now, we're not supposed to be spiritual snobs either and look down our nose at them. We're supposed to have compassion and godly pity toward them, not envy them. Their lives are a mess. They keep chasing one thing after another, and they keep going deeper and deeper into the darkness, trying to satisfy what's inside, but they're looking in all the wrong places. Where do we find this place? Where do we hit the sweet spot for the desires of our hearts? We delight ourselves in the Lord. Now, so what are those desires? Peace. God's word. God's word. What about meaning and significance in life? God's word, peace, meaning and significance in our lives. You know, the preacher, he went off in Ecclesiastes and just apart, just under the sun, he said, he had everything. He said, vanity of vanities, everything's vanity. What's worth living? That's what they come to. See, the desires of our, there's deep needs that we have, that we were created. We've got to look up. Carrie and I got to find Only Jesus Can Satisfy Your Soul. We sing that as a duet. We've got to sing that for you guys one of these days. I've planned that since we've been here and have not gotten around to do it. But just that thought, only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only Jesus can take your life and make it whole. And the desire, the significance. See, it's not wrong to, it's like, it's not wrong, it's not prideful to want to be acknowledged as something. Is that my life has meaning. My life has significance. Not pushing my life ahead of someone else's. But how about these for the desires of our heart? To love and to be loved. To truly love. And how about what James talks about? That when we fall into various trials, don't be all upset because it's an opportunity. The New International really hits the nail on the head. It says, for pure joy. Pure joy. And that's no strings attached, no hooks in it. It's just the joy that we have, back to our word, faithfulness, the desires of our hearts, all these things that are deep within us. And we could almost hear God, can't we, in this text, saying, why would you be envious of the wicked? Why would we be envious of the wicked? Why would we be tempted to look at that? But we all are, aren't we? I mean, at one time or another, I don't think I'm overwhelmed with greed or selfishness now, but you know, just some of this, that like the affluence and that, and it's like, boy, that might be kind of nice, or this might. just like winning the lottery. People think about winning the lottery, but look at the destruction that has brought. Now, you would think winning the lottery, well, the way we think, the desires of your heart, right? Oh, man, I've got it made now. I can get anything I want. But you know what the problem is? We don't know what we really want. I mean, there's that nagging inside, that need that we have, but we can't identify it apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ. And as believers in Christ, how do we touch that? We delight ourselves in God. And God reveals these things. How many of us have next to nothing in the bank? You're there and you don't have all this stuff going on, and you just feel like you're just at the center of God's universe. Just that meal you had, it wasn't fancy, and you don't have a whole lot in the cupboard, but you just feel like God might have just himself just stood there and served it to you, because you just know that provision was from God himself, because that's how significant you are to your heavenly Father. That's how much you mean to your Father in heaven. Is there a better place to be than that? And the times that we've had more, and boy, that something's just not right. The desire, the true desires, I really believe that's what this text, and it was some time back. Again, read through the Bible, and then one day the Lord said, you know what, Dave, I think this is what he's talking about here, the true desires. He said, it's like he's saying we have eternity set in our hearts. Well, what's more discouraging when we just feel like we're locked in with the mundane of this world? It's just the daily grind. We know in our minds there's more. We know in our minds Jesus is coming again. But our feet just aren't there in eternity, are they? But let's just go flip it and go back to that picture then. The things can just seem so, you can have something tragic happen in your life. And yet you just practically see that path before you, that you're not locked into those tragic circumstances. You're not locked into that financial upheaval. It's just like you just see yourself on this eternal path, the pathway of God. We have found the pathway of God. I can't think of the psalm now. Psalm 16 is one of them, but that one song that I've written, He Who Loves Mercy Will Find the Pathways of God. And you see that. And so that eternity in our heart, all these things that are deep within. But God, delighting ourselves in God, He peels away the layers. We quit chasing the same things. We quit. No, you don't have to be envious of the wicked, because they don't have it all. And they can get to the end just like despair. Trust in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Do you have a thought on the desires of our hearts? I said I'd open that up, and I just kind of kept rolling. The peace of God, God's word. That's another thing too. They're the desires of our heart. And where we're in that place where God is, it's God's word. I mean, we know it's God's word, right? But then it's like there. But there's just, we gotta admit, don't we? Sometimes it's like, boy, that's God. Boy, God spoke. You just read it.
Didn't Augustine say that there is a God-sized hole in man's heart?
Augustine said that maybe. I've heard that there's a God-sized hole in man's heart. Yeah, could have been Augustine. I'm not sure. Somebody said it. Yeah.
If we fill our minds and hearts.
It can't do that. And yet we'll sometimes look and we just want to contest that so much, or we are speaking here most, we're speaking to the envy side of the conflict. Somebody else have a thought before we, yeah.
You probably read the same things we have about Solomon. He started out delighting himself in the Lord, and the Lord gave him the delights of his heart. And there's a point there that we need to be careful that we don't, and, you know, later on it says, Solomon, however, when you see that however, you know something's happening. Sure.
Well, and he, go ahead.
And, you know, it said he loved foreign women, and he had 1,000 wives and concubines, and, you know, you could just see, kind of turning to the way of the world, what we would think is the way of the world, when he had it all before.
He was directly told to not take foreign wives. He ended up with 700 wives and 300 concubines.
And he set up their gods.
He set up Moloch. He set up all these detestable gods. I just read them. I can't think of it. It's Moloch. All these ones that when they came into Canaan, that they were, because it was, God was no longer his delight. Yeah. And he had a clear word to follow. It wasn't some vague thing. And, well, I had mentioned this morning, well, I think I did anyway, either I did or I was going to, Jeroboam. You know, when it, you just read that with the, and God told him, I mean, I'll just, he said, I will bless you. But, nope, just had to, no, I don't think that'll quite work out, so I'm going to do this to secure my kingship. Somebody else have a thought.
Different than Adam and Eve. All they had to do is stay away from
the one tree. Isn't that amazing? I mean,
it's the same thing.
You know,
thousands of years later, we're still at it.
It's mind boggling, but I have to think, well, Dave, I don't think I would have got it either. Because I think, oh, surely, I mean, surely I could, but all just one, and it wasn't like, you know, because we want to look at God, God is so prohibitive. No, it was paradise. Just don't eat from one tree. But all it takes is just one little voice, and this coming from the devil, the serpent, the snake, saying God's holding out on you. And it's a lot about the goodness of God. If I stay the course, what can I stay the course? Because I do trust. We talked here, delight in the Lord, trust in the Lord, be still before the Lord, wait on the Lord. It's all about trust and trusting and his goodness that he will bring about what he says he will. Anybody else have another thought? Okay, well, we'll go just next here. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will act. And then be still before the Lord. And how we need this. How we need, I don't know. My thing is if I like early morning because my mind hasn't taken off yet. And sometimes I can reel myself back in and do this being still before the Lord. But my best opportunity is like right after I wake up. Of course, coffee fiend, got to have that first cup of coffee. And I don't know, I could probably have a relationship with God without the coffee, but the Lord lets me have the coffee, so. But just that being still before God. Because if we try to grab a verse later in the day when our day's zooming by, sometimes God will just stop us right there. Sometimes you can be dry. I mean, I'm not saying you can't do it. I'm just talking about what happens typically. And what I'm saying is find that time when it's your best time. Because we got to have the time to be still before the Lord. And God will speak to our hearts. And he will bring these things. He will. How does he pull this off? That we feel like we're the focus of his attention when there's how many billion on this earth and how many millions are believers. But God does that, doesn't he? To be still before the Lord and to wait for him. And to wait for him. Wait on the Lord. Wait. We do, we trust, we do good. We follow, we guard our paths, we follow scripture, and we wait for God's timing. It's all about, so much of it is about the sovereignty of God. And let God bring things about. And when we don't, we smolder in anger. And we try to make things happen. Okay, verses 8 to 20, and I'm going to, we're getting about 7:30 almost, so I'm going to go through these, just what this overall theme of these verses. Live in the truth of our story and avoid the anger that smolders toward evil. Now, what do I mean, live in the truth of our story? Well, let me ask you this. Who wins? The righteous or the wicked? The wicked, did you say? Okay. Who wins? Who inherits the earth? The righteous or the wicked? I'll quit horsing around. The righteous. Are we living like that? Or are we letting other voices tell us it's slipping away? It's slipping out of our grasp. We've got to do this. Now, if God speaks to us specifically about doing something, then we need to do that. But this general, we got to do something, or this panic feeling or this anxiety, it's just not from God. We have to live in the truth of our story. And the truth of our story is the darkness is passing away. The true light is already shining. We already, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have full and complete, it could not be a more complete victory in Jesus Christ. That's the truth of our gospel story. So we live, I'm just going to read verses 8 through 20. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. And you'll see that, inherit the land, a few times through this text. This is at least the second one here. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. And here's interesting, just reading this recently. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. It's like, where'd the wicked go? They seemed so dominant not that long ago. They'll be gone, folks. And what we'll be saying is, oh Lord, you said this was going to happen, didn't you? But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves, in abundant peace. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes his teeth at him. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend their bows to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose way is upright. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. What is the truth of the story? Do the wicked win? No, they do not. God says it over and over again. Better is the little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their heritage will remain forever. They are not put to shame in evil times. In the days of famine they have abundance, but the wicked will perish. The enemies of the Lord are like the glory of the pastures. They vanish like smoke. They vanish away. Let me read these points that I have here that go with those verses. The truth of our story is that we inherit the land. Living contrary to our story, we are susceptible to anger and evil. The truth of our story, that was verses 8 and 9, verses 10 and 11, the truth of our story is that we remain, the wicked disappear. Verses 12 to 15, the truth of our story is that God's day is coming in spite of wicked plots and gnashing of teeth. God's day will come. God's plan will unfold and not be changed in the least bit. Verses 16 and 17, the truth of our story is that the little we have is better than the abundance of many wicked. And lastly, the truth of our story is that God knows our days and that we remain forever. And I think the big point here is, and let's live in the light of the truth of our story. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you again for speaking to our hearts. Thank you for this group. Father, build us into the mighty army, the soldiers of Christ, for our community, for our area. Help us to love each other, Lord, and to care for each other. In Christ's name, amen.